Hello?
Hello?
Hello? This is the Vancouver
Commercial
Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright. And on today's program, we have Jonas van Lienen joining us from Fifth Avenue Properties. For those who maybe haven't heard about Fifth Avenue Properties, they are a tremendous developer, developing both in the greater Calgary area, Kelowna, the States, as far as Belize. So tremendous opportunity for us to speak to Fifth Avenue Properties today to dive into all the projects they're working on, but also some of the challenges they've been having along with other developers and what's kind of separating them apart moving forward. We also dive into Calgary. A lot of people in BC obviously are very interested in the Alberta market over the past few years. We dive into Calgary to find out about their projects in Calgary and also what differs Calgary versus BC and where maybe is the growth opportunities between the two provinces there. So a great interview today. Without further ado, let's get to our interview today with Jonas from Fifth Avenue Properties. Enjoy.
This podcast is presented by Impact Commercial.
Impact Commercial, John, Alan, the team over there are fantastic. They've all been on the show.
They have, yeah.
Friends of the show.
Great guys.
Wealth of experience. They can help with all your commercial financing needs.
Whether it's owner-occupiers, land development funds, commercial investments, or multifamily, these guys got you covered.
And they recently obtained their CMHC correspondent lender status.
So for all your commercial lending needs, visit them at impactcommercial.com.
That's impactcommercial.ca.
Zentera has done it again. Recently named Multifamily Home Builder of the Year by the Home Builders Association of Vancouver and the Canadian Home Builders Association of BC. Zentera continues to move forward on new projects. And their latest, Butte, a new condo community in West Clayton, is now selling. With construction already underway, buyers can purchase with confidence, knowing that the project is moving forward.
Butte offers 1, 2, and 3-bedroom condos located just 3 blocks to the future SkyTrain Adam. These condos come with tons of inclusions like gas ranges, air conditioning, and designer-selected finishes. Residents will have access to the rooftop patio, fitness center, on-site daycare, co-working space, games room, and tons of outdoor space with 3 playgrounds. Estimated completion is summer 2028.
The best deals are happening now. Visit Zentera's home store in South Surrey to get all the details or check out the floor plans at buttecondos.ca. That's B-U-T-E condos.ca.
And welcome back to the Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast. I'm Corey Wright. And on the program today, we have Jonas van Lienen joining us from Fifth Avenue Properties, where he's the founder, president, and CEO. Jonas, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Before we dive into it, can you maybe give us the backstory on commercial real estate, Fifth Avenue Properties, and how you ended up where you are today?
Yeah, you bet. My dad was a developer building high rises, malls, land development, single family. Up in Alberta, all over Alberta, basically, more so northern. And so I grew up in Edmonton and got the real estate bug when I was a young age and said, hey, you know, by the time, I'm older, I want to be in real estate. So I want to be a developer. So that's always been the dream is to build and have projects around the world and build all kinds of different types of products. So I'm proud to say that that's what I do today.
Well, I know you guys are in a lot of areas and stuff like that. Can you maybe highlight some of the areas where we could find some projects?
You bet. Yeah. So in Calgary, we do everything from, you know, mid-rise construction to, you know, single family homes to townhouse development to land development. So we were kind of in all those different sections. You know, our biggest project's probably 482 units with retail commercial on the main floor and then rentals or condos above, depending on what building. And then we build in Kelowna. Kelowna, we do all mid-rise. So we have 5 buildings basically at various different stages, either just completed under construction or in for development permit. Then we build in Blaine, Washington, again, mid-rise, right on the ocean, beautiful product. That one's rental. Then we have 2 BTR projects currently in Phoenix, Arizona. And one's 178, one's will be about 180 units. And that one we're in for a development permit on. And then we have two projects in Miami that we're working on, two mid-rise condo projects. And then we have a beautiful resort in Belize. And then we also have a project in Bali.
Unreal. Unreal. Well, obviously right now, development, at least in this province, has probably been more challenged the past little while than maybe it has before. How are you guys finding it right now? Or what are you guys doing, maybe doing differently that's allowing you to kind of continue to build this pipeline here in BC?
Well, there's definitely its challenges for sure. I think of any market right now, that Kelowna is probably the one that has the most challenges. You know, we're fortunate where we finished our building. We had some inventory, 13 units, and we've tried to market that product, and it's been very difficult to sell those condos. And we have a trade base that knows that we have a lot of work coming up. And so what's happened is the trade base has come forward and said, hey, listen, we'll buy some of your inventory if we get some work. And so that's helped us market and sell some of our existing product. On top of that, we have another building where we probably have right now 17, you know, units that have not sold. So we're putting together a package to an investment group. We're one block away from the brand new downtown UBC campus in Kelowna. And so we are putting a program, an investment program, where our investors can buy the remaining units. And we put it into Airbnb and a rental pool. And basically, we'll rent it to students that go to UBC. So it's a good business model. So we're working on that one now. And hopefully by the time that Savoy is completed, then we'll have zero units remaining. Everything will be sold and we can close out that project. Having said that, everything else we've turned to rental because two of our projects are right beside the UBC downtown campus. The other project is right beside the KGH hospital. We think those are great rental sites. And we think long-term, that we still are big believers in BC, and we're big believers in Kelowna. So we think long-term that doing a rental project there is really going to work well. It might take a little time, but overall, we think it's a good way to go.
Fast forward 5 years, maybe even 10 years. I know it's kind of far to look out there, but obviously BC is a challenging market right now, as you alluded to. Does this development challenges change in the future from a development standpoint where conditions better? And you're right back into maybe merchant strata product at some point?
Well, I hope so. The answer is yes. I'm a big believer in BC. This is the first time, I think, you know, in Confederation, since Confederation, that BC is going to have, you know, a negative net migration. And a lot of that's driven by government choices, right? And so you hope that you get a new government in here that has that's a lot more pro-business. And in that, hopefully then will make a big difference on what happens in BC. But generally speaking, there's a pullback on starts. You know, no developer right now can make the numbers work to build a condo building. It just does not work, does not make sense. Rentals, you know, make sense, you know, for depends on location and the vacancy rates and depends on rental rates, et cetera. But rental still has some, you know, some options there. And so I think that, you know, within 3 years, 4 years, we're going to be in a situation where potentially we actually have pent-up demand, where we have a shortage of supply. And so that's what we are counting on. And plus, the locations that we're going into, we expect that, you know, we'll have obviously a lower vacancy rate than what, say, the average would be in that particular city.
Do you worry in Kelowna, at least in the short term, with how much development's gone on there, rental product, the Airbnb restrictions probably bringing more inventory to market, at least for the short term, because obviously there's some changes to that coming up? What does the horizon look like for the next 12 months?
Well, there's no doubt there's a lot of inventory coming up. So the good news for us is that we won't be building in that time. Our buildings won't be completed in that time frame. Our buildings will be completed, you know, in say 24 months from now. And so the first one, right? So we're dealing more in a 24 to 36 month horizon. And by then the inventory levels will be much lower. And we expect that it should be a pretty good market. And again, because of my location close to, you know, there's just not a lot of, you know, rental right now by the UBC downtown campus or by KGH. And so there's a need still in that kind of sub-market, basically. And so I think that that we're going to be pretty good based on what our research has done. But there's no doubt that, yes, we're overbuilt. We're oversupplied. That's a lot of cities in Canada right now.
Yeah.
We're actually oversupplied. Having said that, if you have a big pullback, then we're going to be in another situation, you know, 3, 4, 5 years from now where we simply don't have enough product.
Alberta seems to be on everybody's hit list here in BC, at least even on the commercial side of things. A lot of people are looking into that market. You guys are in that market. How do they differ, and maybe what's Alberta doing right that maybe BC isn't, for at least from a development standpoint?
Well, I can tell you this much. Kelowna is the best city for development as far as working with the city. You know, they really do a good job. And I have to say the mayor from the councillors been great to work with, the city planners in Kelowna. These guys are the best that we of any city we work with. And so I have to give a credit to them first. Having said that, and they've even been, you know, they're more of a conservative type, you know, government here on the local government. And so they've pushed the Airbnb, they've pushed business. They're very pro-business. And so, of course, Alberta is too. The government there makes a big difference. They're pro-business. That makes a big difference on the psychology of what's going on in that province. And I'm a big believer in Alberta long-term. I think there's strong net migration. There's strong job growth. There's, you know, there's some really good things. And the other thing that's interesting is they've really diversified the economy. They've really gone out and yes, you know, Alberta's still dependent on energy, but you know, there's a large tech, you know, industry now. They've really expanded. There's manufacturing, you know, there's really a big difference than say it was say 10 years ago, where it's primarily just based on oil and gas. Oil and gas play a very large role still, but it's different. And so I think Alberta for the next 10 years is going to be good. We're still seeing strong business in Alberta. But it's been hit a little bit. It's not like it was a year ago. But there's still good business to be had there, and we're still continuing our program. We haven't made a lot of changes to our program in Alberta.
Is Alberta the market that you would see more growth in, maybe than BC right now? Is that where you'd kind of be looking for future opportunities?
Oh, 100%. Like right now in BC, we will not buy another new project until we execute on what we have in front of us, plain and simple. And that is just, we just don't have a lot of confidence with the provincial government. And so we have a lot more confidence in what's going on in Alberta and for a wide variety of reasons. And so basically, you know, we will absolutely focus on Alberta. And that's where a lot of our investment will go over the next 12 months.
Is there anything that you would change from the BC standpoint? A lot of people may not understand if you're selling condos, like things like what REDMA is and all of that stuff. What would you change?
A good example is if you're a condo developer, your banks and your lenders, and rightfully so, require a certain amount of pre-sales, right? So you want to get to 50, 60%, maybe sometimes even slightly higher of pre-sales. Well, we launched one project a year ago and we got 6 pre-sales in 1 year. So, and it's all because of these regulations. Now, if we were able to open that market up at the time to Airbnb and say, hey, you can rent your unit out to a university student and you can Airbnb it, I make you a bet we would have gotten those sales. And if we could have sold those units to foreign buyers, like let's say Australia does, where on new projects you can sell to foreign buyers, I can guarantee you we would have sold our units and we would have kept developing. But now every condo project we have is on hold and switched to a rental, or we simply won't go and buy new condo projects. And so government plays a big role in these, you know, choices, I guess, that we make. And it's based on if I can't pre-sell a building, I can't de-risk it. And so then I can't move forward.
One challenge we hear from a lot of developers is, you know, CAC costs and DCC costs and all of that stuff. What is your take on that? Because we've had you know, Brad Jones on from West Group recently, and he was obviously very vocal about that. Would they estimate sometimes it's up to like 30% of end user price per foot is going into the coffers of various government departments?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. The bottom line is developers are having a very difficult time making money in BC. And if anything right now is these projects are losing money. I don't know how many. If you take a percentage of projects right now in BC that are operational, I don't know how many would be profitable. And so that's a really bad stat. So something has to change, right? So it's either we have to, you know, lower our costs, which is number one thing that a developer tries to focus on is, okay, we can't make the market. So what do we have control on? And that's lowering costs. And so that's where we try to focus our energy. And so the DCCs absolutely play a large role. I mean, Kelowna's done some things where, you know, you don't have to pay it all up front, and that's certainly helped, you know, so that requires a little bit less equity up front. But there's no doubt that those costs are expensive, and it just makes a project not feasible at the end of the day.
Is there anything from a government standpoint, besides obviously trying to I don't want to say greed's the right word, but is there anything they can do on their standpoint to maybe try to lower those costs?
Again, if they can lower those costs, that makes a big difference, right? Because we're talking, we pay millions of dollars on a project for DCCs, like millions, right? So that millions of dollars is basically increases your cost of that project. So if they can reduce that, you know, by 50% or 40% or whatever that number is, and all of a sudden that makes that project more feasible. So what's going to happen is if it's not feasible, you're not going to get housing built. And so you're going to have a situation where no housing gets built and we eat up all the inventory. And then in 4 or 5 years, we're going to have a shortage again. So I think that the city definitely could help with that. You know, having said that, I do believe the city of Kelowna is definitely looking at that, and they share the same sort of views. Again, they're very pro-business and they want to keep, you know, building going.
Looking at it from a bird's eye view, obviously Kelowna, you guys are in. Is there any other BC markets that maybe have caught your eye that maybe you guys aren't currently in right now? And if so, why?
No, I mean, we want to focus. I live in Calgary and I live in Kelowna. And so our focus is, and we have offices in both. And so I really want to focus on the market that's here. I'm a big believer in this Okanagan market and long-term. You know, having said that, I mean, Vancouver is a great market. I think that Vancouver is a great city, and it still will be a great city, and there'll be lots of development, you know, that comes up over the next, you know, 10, 15 years. So I think that, you know, that's always a market that's interesting. I think that there's a number of cities. I think Victoria and the island, you know, surrounding that, you know, area is done quite well. That's interesting. But you have to really be a local there to really be a good builder there. So I think for us, we've been very careful with our locations that we choose, and not only the cities, but also, hey, being beside a hospital, being beside a brand new university, those are good choices.
I'm curious to hear, obviously not knowing the intricacies on the how you guys finance these projects, whether it be private capital or banks or limited partnership structures, how has that changed? Obviously, with the challenges the market has, whether it's investors, maybe capital isn't as fluid as it once was. How has it changed on the financing side, trying to get these projects built with regards to maybe investors or even banks?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think in Canada, you know, it's a great place to be a developer. And as long as you have a good project, what I found, and as long as, you know, you know, it appeals to, let's say, the lender, then it's worked out fine. So you just have to be a little bit more conservative. So for example, for our partners and investors, we've been able to still attract capital to both Calgary and Kelowna and all the cities that we're in. Some obviously are a lot easier than others, but I can tell you that we've absolutely been able to attract capital. Now, if I was trying to do a condo project and saying, yeah, we're going to build a condo in Kelowna, I wouldn't be able to attract any capital right now. But as a rental in those locations, we've been able to attract the capital required. And same thing in Calgary. Calgary is a little bit of a hot spot right now. Capital wants to go to Calgary. And so that's worked out well for us as well. But generally speaking, attracting the capital, I mean, we put in a good percentage anyways of the first capital. Usually, you know, 20, 30% of the capital stack is myself and, say, a partner's money. On the lending side, the lenders have been good. We don't try to usually do financing. Like in BC, we wouldn't do a 95% or 90% financing. We would have a minimum of 75% and make sure we have 25% equity. So that, I think, has really helped us. So a lender would look at us and see us as maybe a little bit less risk. So we've just made sure that we've had the equity stack in place to attract those lenders. And in Calgary, we haven't had any issues. You know, Calgary, again, is a hotspot for lenders to go right now. And so it's been very easy to finance our business there.
Have you seen your lender pool shift over the past 2 or 3 years? Obviously, with the challenges there, has maybe ones you've worked with before in the past not as eager now, and now there's different, whether it be credit unions or even mix or whatever it is. Has that lender pool shifted from the banking side?
Well, for sure. Kelowna is not as attractive, you know, anymore. You know, absolutely. Where, you know, a year or 2 years ago, it was an absolute yes, where today it's a lot different. You know, you're not looking at the same loan to cost or loan to value ratios as you did, you know, a number of years back. But so it shifted to Calgary. There's no doubt. If you have a good project in Calgary and you have pre-sales, you'll get funding. That's never an issue. And even a rental, you know. So I think that the options for Calgary have grown, and the options for BC have gotten less.
Do you see right now a lot of your counterparts out there with regards to, sorry, your competitors out there, right now that are maybe looking to move land. One thing, at least on the brokerage side of the business, we've seen tremendous amount of land opportunities come available. Some good, probably some not so good, but it feels like there's a lot of stuff. Are you seeing a tremendous amount more deal flow coming across your desk with regards to developing land?
Yeah, we have for sure. And I think that, there's definitely good opportunities out there. There's definitely opportunities, for developers. But I think right now developers typically are in more of a holding pattern in British Columbia. And they don't want to necessarily jump on things right now. They want to be really careful with what they do. And so I'm not seeing a lot of developers that are buying right now. Where in Calgary, it would be much different. That has not stopped at all. So I think that, it'll be interesting to see what happens, with the market, but that'll change. There's still good opportunities. I think a lot of people still believe in British Columbia and you're going to see a pretty strong, I believe you'll see a pretty strong rebound here in a number of years. It won't be the next year. It probably won't be the next 24 months, but after that, you'll see something very strong.
Obviously in BC, you're kind of Kelowna focused. In Alberta, it seems like it's Calgary focused. What communities in the Calgary area are you guys most active in or most looking to get active in?
Well, every Calgary area is a good area, first of all. Anything in Calgary, if it has a Calgary address, is good. We have three new projects on the west side of Calgary. I really like the west side. And so we focus there, but we build on the east side in Belvedere as well. We focus on the south side. Okotoks has been great. You have to build the right product, though. You have to understand the product mix, that has to be in these different cities. We also build in Cochrane. We like Cochrane. So I think really, honestly, right now, anything Calgary area is pretty good, especially, some of those towns like Okotoks and Cochrane are still strong as well. So we've done quite well in both.
You mentioned Okotoks. Is there anything there from like an economic standpoint or whatever that's really driving that growth in that market?
Well, it's interesting. So right now, the vacancy rate in some of these cities, like we have five mid-rise buildings that we're building in High River. Well, High River has actually much lower vacancy rate right now than, say, almost anywhere else. And so we're not going to build all five at once, but we'll build one at a time. And basically, that's an opportunity. So we're looking closely at what the inventory levels are and what the vacancy rates are and deciding, which direction we go in. And one thing you do in Calgary is you usually be a little bit more cautious, with when you build. You don't go build, a whole bunch of spec, and hope for that market, to gobble it up. You build some spec and then you wait for pre-sales. So Calgary is a big pre-sale town.
What's next for Fifth Avenue Properties? Fast forward a couple of years, what's on the horizon? What's the next step for you guys?
I'm a big believer in Calgary. Obviously, I'm a big believer still in BC. We want to be, still developing in BC 5-10 years from now. We want to be developing more in Calgary 5-10 years from now. But I also like going down to the United States, and we've been really well received. I've been very impressed with how we've been treated in Blaine, Washington. That council has been nothing short of outstanding, and it's the economics work to build what we're building there. So that's interesting. And same thing in Phoenix. Phoenix is very pro-Canadian. There's a lot of Canadian developers down there, and we're finding that market a good place to do business. So we want to continue to grow our operation there and execute on what we have. And in Miami, we're taking a hard look at, simply because Miami is one of these cities, I think, in the world and North America that will continue to grow and is a hotspot, for capital and for growth. So we're pretty excited about that. Having said that, we're going in very cautiously and this will be something that we do and really have a good look at it. So the Phoenix stuff is 100% go. The Blaine stuff's 100% go. Miami, right now, we have two great projects, but it's not 100% go. There are some things we got to, really check and work out first. Belize is good. That market has been very, very strong. And so very excited about Belize and seeing how our project's beautiful and see how that transforms over the next, 5 years and hopefully continue to develop there with the next project. And in Bali, same thing. Bali is really interesting for us. We act only as developer, which is different for us. We usually self-perform all our construction. There we have a great partner, local partner there that is Australian that went to Bali and fell in love and started this construction company and is an absolute brilliant man. And so we're very proud to work with them. But that market also is strong and the margins are crazy, 40% margins. So it's really, really interesting. And so we're going there in a small way. We have success, then we'll continue on. But we go in there, as Jim Collins says, we shoot a bullet, not a cannon. And we'll see what happens if we have success.
Jim Collins, best business author to read. I give everyone when they join us. And we always talk about Good to Great as kind of like one you have to read in this company. Johannes, I guess if we can dust off our crystal ball here, you've done this for a long time. Maybe we'll focus more on the Kelowna market. What is your expectations for the next 12, 24 months happen? What does the market look like in the next 2 years?
I don't think the next 12 months anywhere is going to be great. You know, maybe it might be great in Belize and Bali. I don't think the next 12 months anywhere or in North America is going to be good. I don't think it's going to be disastrous. I don't think that's the case. I just don't think it's going to be, you know, anything good. I think 24 months, things will start to change. Then you might have, you know, lower inventory, et cetera. And that's why we're just being careful when we build our rentals. We're going into a market that we know. Like, there's one other market that we're looking at, and that's Prince George. So we do have a project in Prince George that we're working on the pro forma of, and there's reasons why. Their rents are higher than say it would be in Vernon, and their vacancy rate's much lower. So we're looking at that project based on getting all our costing down, but that one looks good. We probably will move forward with that. But it, at the end of the day, I think that building a couple of the rental projects we have are setting up for when the market is better, that we'll do quite well. And I think that in a number of years, BC will be back on good footing. Alberta, I think, will be also really interesting to see what happens there. And in North America, too. You know, Phoenix market is a good market and will continue to grow, too.
Is there any fear of the lack of geographical challenges Alberta has, as in you can kind of build for days? Is there any fear like that on your guys' side that it ever gets overbuilt because of that?
No, I guess I grew up there, so I've never thought it that way. And I would say that, you know, Calgary's done a really good job. Like, there's not a lot of builders. There's actually less builders there, and there's not a lot of inventory. And so to be honest with you, Calgary's very experienced at not overbuilding because of the market cycles. And you don't typically hear that Calgary's overbuilt. And so, you know, there's a lot more inventory today than there was, say, during COVID, of course. But at the end of the day, Calgary's pretty smart with what they do. And I would say that the focus is bring the density levels up too. So, you know, a number of years back, you were at 7, you know, lots per acre. Today, you're at 11, 12. So you see a lot more multifamily and commercial and things like that. So I think that, you know, Calgary does a good job at managing that sort of thing. And I think that that will continue for the next number of years. So really, it makes the builders and the developers naturally are in a much better spot because they don't have all the inventory.
Amazing, Johannes. We really appreciate you taking the time today to join us there. But before we let all of our guests go, we have a six-pack of lighthearted questions we ask everyone to get to know you a little bit more outside of the office. Do you have a few more minutes for us?
Absolutely.
Favorite vacation spot when you find the time?
Okay, well, for me, I moved to my vacation spot. That was Kelowna. And so in summertime, I don't take a vacation. I live where I fell in love with. And so that's Kelowna. I love the Okanagan. I'm on the boat 30, 40 times a year. You know, you work till 4, 5, 5:30, and then you get on a boat and you take the family and you go surfing. So for me, I live where it's my favorite. But the second favorite, if it's wintertime,
sure, second favorite,
it's Hawaii.
Amazing. Big Island, Maui, do you have a particular island?
Both of those are fantastic. Yeah, I love them both. We grew up, you know, on Maui as we had a winter house there. And so for me, I fell in love with Maui, but I love the Big Island as well. And it's like, you know, Kelowna's little, Canada's little Hawaii, but it's a very special place simply because of family and it's a beautiful place.
I'll grill you one more time. Any particular part of Maui?
Maui, yeah. Wailea.
Wailea, great choice. Yeah.
The place we had was in Kihei, so which is right beside Wailea. Yep, so, absolutely. You know, I've been going to the same spots my whole life, the same beach my whole life. So
amazing.
It's definitely got fond memories.
Favorite band or musician?
Oh, that's a good question. You know what? I think that changes all the time. You know, sometimes it comes down to what your kids like. I just went to a Morgan Wallen concert and, you know, that was outstanding. And I love Coldplay. And, you know, so I think it changes. You know, I love our Canadian singers, you know, so Justin Bieber and Celine Dion. I mean, if I get a chance to go see Celine again. So I'm probably pro-Canadian more so than anything. But, you know, I think it changes year by year.
Well, Morgan Wallen's a good choice. What city did you see him in?
Actually, it took my son for the weekend in Vegas.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. A book recommendation for our listeners doesn't have to be real estate related, but it can be.
Well, the number one book that I tell people all the time, you put all the other business books away, and that's called Good to Great. That for us is number one. And we study that as a management team. We do weekly meetings. We go through everything that's in good to greats. And so that's number one. Number two would be scaling up for me. And I like right now four forces of growth, but absolutely number one would be good to great.
Yeah. Jim Collins, I think best author when it comes to business books. Unfortunately, you've done something horribly wrong, Jazz, and you're on death row, but you're allowed one more meal before it's all said and done. What are you having?
Well, hey, I'm from Alberta, so I'm going to go with a ribeye steak.
Nice. Great choice. Great choice. It's Friday night. You're in Kelowna. You're on a beautiful patio. You've had a few glasses of wine. Someone shoves a karaoke mic in your face. What are you singing?
Not a chance.
And last question up. You've obviously done extremely well in real estate over the years. One piece of advice maybe for someone who's looking to get into real estate from an investing standpoint, whether it be residential or commercial?
Well, I think in BC, especially, like I look at Kelowna and I look at all the great developers that are here. There's so many good developers, whether it be Mission Group, High Street, Train. There's so many great companies there that do a great job. And the same thing with Vancouver. So I think generally speaking, there's a lot of great professional companies and they all offer something usually pretty similar, but there's opportunities with them. And so I would say that to look at those individual companies and look at the individual projects and really understand kind of what they're doing. But let me tell you, there's a lot of really good developers in BC. And the same thing in Calgary too. I think that there's a lot of really good, professional builders. So I think it really would be, obviously you look at the project and you look at the numbers and if it makes sense, you go. But then you also look at the track record and the history and of what they built. So, for us, for example, it's easy for us to take guys down the site and walk the site and meet the team and see our show homes and walk the dirt of, say, the next project. So we try to make sure that we cover all those bases. But there's lots of really good developers that someone could invest in.
Johannes, this has been great. We really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. How can our listeners find out more about Fifth Avenue Properties and yourself and all your amazing projects?
Well, I think the best thing is our website, fifthavenueproperties.com. And that has all the information. And then also follow me on Instagram.
All right, Johannes, what's your Instagram handle for those people that do want to follow you there?
All right, Jay Van Leenen. That's what you'll find me on Instagram.
Amazing. Johannes, this has been great. Thank you so much for joining us today. We really, really appreciate you taking the time to let us know all the amazing projects Fifth Avenue Properties are doing.
Keep up the great work. You bet. Likewise.
Take care. There you have it, folks. Our interview with Johannes Van Leenen, president, founder, and CEO of Fifth Avenue Properties. Great interview today. Unpacks a lot. And there's a lot of things there we talk about that maybe that's something, some really good key takeaways. Good to great. Jim Collins, always a great, prolific business writer. Kind of like a Bible, you would say, in the business world. So he comments on that. But also, I was very interested to hear about like the leverage standpoint, that not maxing out their leverage, especially in some of these rental projects, which you see a lot of developers try to do, makes them a much more better borrower to a lot of banks, keeps the pipeline going there. So great interview today. Look forward to having more great guests coming up in the near future, guys. And we'll see everybody next week. Take care.
Subscribe today.